I'm kind of in this space where I feel like I need to stop being a stay-at-home dad and start like having a job. Does that seem weird?
No, it doesn't seem weird at all. As a matter of fact, I take days off now, and I don't know what to do with myself. Just to give you a for instance, before I had a child, I loved taking secret days off. It was my jam. You know, just
there was unlimited possibility for a day like that, right? Yeah. You could do anything.
It was mostly eating related.
Sure. Well, eating though, like, you know, you can go to the restaurant that you want to eat at without having to think about, can they make a completely plain grilled cheese?
Yeah. Right.
Or like, will they put breadcrumbs or anything resembling real cheese into their macaroni and cheese? Because if they do, we went to an event at the Phoenix Children's Museum where one of the head chefs at Oregano's, which is a popular pizza bistro here in the Phoenix area, there are many of them all around town and they're all very well attended. The chef just like made macaroni and cheese, like demoed how they make their mac and cheese for the kids and then dished it up, and my kids would not eat it because there was real cheddar cheese in there.
Ungrateful.
I know.
I wanted to make hamburgers the other night on the smoker. My daughter was down for it. She even wanted a normal hamburger patty. Until I told her that the hamburger patties I had were Juicy Lucy's that were filled with cheese and bacon.
That's amazing. That's extra stuff. You're doing a good thing.
You're helping
these hamburgers out. You're improving the hamburger by filling them with cheese and bacon.
Yeah. So good, Tim. And she wasn't having none of it. She had a microwaved hamburger that night. A microwaved frozen hamburger over having a delicious smoked hamburger patty with bacon and cheese on the inside. And I can only help her out so much, you know?
Yeah.
You can only guide them as far as they're willing to go. And then after that, they're on their own.
It's worse when you meet people who are kind of bragging about the cool stuff that the kids eat. Like a friend of mine a long time ago, his little girl might have been 4. She might have been 3. I don't even know. But he's like, yeah, she's been mixing her own Sriracha ranch. And she's like using a lot of Sriracha now. It's kind of freaking me out. And I'm just like, God damn it.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'm just like, kids.
Quit rubbing your advanced child in my face.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the worst. I mean, my kid, I feel like, regressed. We watch these adorable videos from Facebook, and I'm like, is she eating broccoli? What the fuck? When did she eat broccoli? Because she ain't having none of that now. But when she was a baby, oh, she was a snackologist, Tim. She was a budding snackologist.
She
wanted all of it. She was like, yeah, that? Yeah, give me that. That? What is that? Let me pick, eat, and rate that. Let me pick, eat, and rate that too, you know? And then she just decided apparently one day she gave everything ones except chicken tenders and plain cheeseburgers and macaroni and cheese. She likes noodles too. Plain noodles. Ramen.
Does she butter on them?
Yes, she likes butter on them, but she doesn't really care. If there's not butter, she's not even going to notice that there's not butter.
I'm being trolled mercilessly by my father-in-law with buttered noodles. Like what was I doing the other day? They came over. Oh, actually it was so that I could go over to Jared's house and record this other podcast that I do. And they were over here watching the kids for a couple of hours. When I got home, my son had a half eaten cold bowl of buttered noodles on the table, right? Like he had already eaten his fill of buttered noodles and they were making him more buttered noodles. It's like as soon as my father-in-law comes into my son's orbit, he starts making the buttered noodles and just continually makes them regardless of whether or not Kit wants to eat them.
Weird.
I don't understand. I feel like the reason is because I've given him a hard time about the buttered noodles. I'm like, dude, maybe when we go out to this restaurant and the kids' meals are all $6, you should get something that's not buttered noodles because there's an economics thing happening here, mm-hmm, where we're really losing some money on the $6 bowl of buttered noodles.
That's how I feel about the grilled cheese, too. Oh, yeah. I feel like the grilled cheese, I'm like, chicken tenders or a grilled cheese and they're the same price? And you're picking the grilled cheese? What the hell is wrong with you?
But the, I mean, the grilled cheese comes with fries. I don't know. Seems like the ingredients necessary to make a grilled cheese at least
equate. They're up there with the preparation of chicken tenders and whatnot. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Yeah, you're getting the buttered noodles. You're just throwing money out the window. You're throwing money out the window. I just think it's funny because when we're adults, we try so hard not to be fat. But when we're kids, like we do with our kids, all we try to do is make them eat. That's all our job is to make them eat. I tried to tell her, like, that's one of, like, 8 jobs I have as a parent for her. But making her eat is a very important one. Because she's going to need to eat.
You worry so much about it, but it's also, like my eating habits aren't good.
No.
You know, like, I've never learned how to eat vegetables. Like, and I don't know what good eating even is. Like, it means you, like, join a co-op and get a bag of fresh produce every week and you eat that whole bag of fresh produce and then you're happy when they bring you another bag, right? What? Isn't that how you – I don't know. I don't know.
Is that eating clean? I don't know.
I don't know. How do you know how clean the co-op is? I don't know.
I eat salads from Costco and I feel like I'm a saint. I feel like I should be given angel wings and a halo right now.
Well, and you feel like – I also, when I get a salad from Costco, I feel like I'm – wait, do you get the salad from the snack bar or do you get the salad just like in the big bag?
I get all the salads from all over the place at Costco. I get the pre-made salads that you could take as lunch with you. I get them from the snack bar. I get them in the big version. I get all of them. I trust Costco's produce.
I don't like that chicken Caesar salad from the snack bar. That dressing is – it just tastes like pure salt to me. But – we got to save, we got to table the Costco talk because we have an upcoming, like, all Costco show, I think. Yeah, right?
Are they paying you now, too?
No, but this is out of hand, Tim. I guess I don't want to pull back the curtain.
You don't pull back the curtain at all. I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing?
Pay no attention to the little dog, too.
You're already talking and trying to tell our viewers, and I know they're not viewers, but you're trying to tell them about next week's episode.
It's like, was I trying to eat a Costco ice cream bar tonight? Never mind. What are you doing? This is not important.
We haven't even welcomed them into this week's episode, Tim. Yeah. We haven't even welcomed them in. And you're already on next week. Should we just skip this episode? Do you want to just go get the ice cream bars now? Can I welcome in our viewers? Can I welcome him in, Tim?
Yeah, you can welcome them in.
Jesus Christ.
Or, I don't know, I have a lot more stuff to ask you about, but you can welcome them in if you want to.
I'd like to welcome our viewers to episode 38 of Derek and Tim Eat Snacks.
Derek and Tim Eat Snacks on the internet.
I don't know what's wrong with you. What's wrong with me?
What's wrong with me?
Yeah. What's wrong with you? Moving ahead in snacks. We haven't introduced the show. We haven't introduced this week's snack. We need to welcome our viewers into next week's snack before we introduce next week's snack. We're already talking about it. They already know. They've connected the dots. They're smart viewers. They know they're not viewers. They know that.
They know. I think that they like us to sort of guide them. And if we say, forget all the things we just said, and let's talk about what you did to make the DC Comics fandom so mad. Oof. That's what I want to know about.
Oof. First of all, I don't want to talk about that.
All right.
And the reason why is because in the span of 15 minutes, I probably received well over 1,000 tweets. It was basically a DC comic fanboy / trolling / # release the Snyder cut / crowd, right?
This crowd
was slightly more aggressive than the zero visibility crowd on Twitter. Slightly more aggressive. I might have received more DMs telling me to go kill myself about the fact that I didn't like this Aquaman poster that came out. So since
what did you actually say to set them off? Like,
well, what I said, because they all called me a petty bitch and other names, I feel with the mature rating that we have on the show, I feel like I can't repeat. But
one girl called you the N-word and then continually was tweeting saying, why won't you debate me about this? And it's like, well,
right. Yeah. I think you figured it out on your own there. But basically what I had said was, and here's my feeling, this doesn't involve any other posters. This doesn't involve anything else. And you yourself are a DC fan. So I don't mind saying this to you so that you understand where I come from, is that I feel like the big difference in these movies isn't interest. I don't feel like there's this fan warfare like these people think there is. I don't think that there's this DC versus Marvel thing going on. What I think is that DC makes a lot of money on these movies, right? And I feel like they are careless with the amount of money that they put into the films and into things like their poster artwork. I thought that the Aquaman poster, even though Aquaman looks very cool, I know you're a fan, he looked very cool in his pose and everything. I thought the rest of the poster was lazy and not done well. So as a counter argument,
it was not a good poster. It looked like a poster for Shark Week, not for a superhero movie.
Not only that, but I mean, honestly, I received joke posters back, you know, Little Mermaid, all sorts of stuff. Someone put in all the Finding Nemo characters. And what was really sad, Tim, was the Finding Nemo's characters. One was beautiful in comparison. Someone put real work into it. Right. And so what's really crazy, though, is the assumptions that these people make, the things that they say to a stranger, just the behavior in general. No matter how much you disagree with the fact that I was irritated by the use of 12 orcas on the poster, 7 of which were used repeated times, what really pissed people off, and this I can understand where I crossed the line, was when I said, this is why you'll never beat Marvel, DC. Now, first of all, these fans take this up as a call to action, because fandom today involves people taking a side. Instead of just letting that statement be directed at the people that make the movies for DC, which is what it was, people that are fans took it as a direct attack on them as someone who loves DC. I didn't care what you thought of my tweet, Tim, as a DC fan, and that's no offense to you, and I love you, but that wasn't directed at you. It wasn't directed at DC fans. It was directed at me being a fan and me also wanting good DC movies. Like, I'm super excited about Shazam. I think that already looks amazing. And I think that Wonder Woman was great. I think Wonder Woman 1984 looks fantastic, and I'm excited about that. And I think the Batman films were great. I think that there was a handful of DC movies that were great. I think that the Batman movies are really anchored by The Dark Knight. I think the other two, like I said in my tweet that got also an equal amount of hate, was that I think the other Batman movies are relatively mediocre. But I think that the Dark Knight one even makes those other two better, because it's a trilogy that was a story told across the three, whatever. And at least it was fluid and it had all the right characters in the places that they should be. Regardless of all of that, it doesn't matter how wrong or right I was. It's just crazy to have people get so upset with you that they would say some of the insane things that I heard people say. And they're so contradictory to even their own things that they were saying. I was accused, and it's a very repeated things. The claim by several people was that I am a anti-DC blogger who...
Oh, I've read your blog. Yeah. It's
scathing.
Yeah, it really is.
And I work for Marvel as an influencer on Twitter.
That's also true. I've actually seen Spider-Man swing by your house and drop off money.
I have a Spider-Man tattoo. Can you imagine how insanely fucking angry they would be if they knew that? Holy shit.
Oh, you shouldn't have said anything about that. Now they know. Now they know. The Spider-Man tattoo is how Spider-Man knows where to find you.
Yeah. Do you know why I have no problem saying that, Tim? Is because these people are some of the worst people I've ever come across in my entire life. If you ever get that angry about someone's opinion over a poster, and you're going to go as far as to call them a petty bitch who doesn't deserve to live life.
Oh.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite direct messages I got. But you know what's funny, Tim?
It's a bad poster. Like, they gotta...
Well, what was crazy was a comparison to a Spider-Man poster that I also really disliked. I really disliked it. But then they started...
No. Hey, if you said Marvel is winning, that means you automatically like the Spider-Man poster. You have to own it.
I have to own it. I'm already getting owned, pawned online, whatever you want to call it, by I'm a noob that should delete my account, you N-word, all of those kind of things that were said to me. But it really was an interesting thing for me. I know that that sounds crazy, because I didn't really get offended by it, Tim, because at the end of the day, the creed I live by is if you ever want to have a chat with me in person, I have a feeling that you would sing a different tune. Maybe if there was 100 of you coming at me at once, you might all gang up like you do online. But I have a feeling that a lot of these fanboys wouldn't like to experience all of this sexiness in person. Because I don't tolerate behavior like this towards me or other people. As a matter of fact, I saw another thing that made me hate Twitter, which was a woman basically suggesting to Chick-fil-A that they have more dairy allergen-free products. I guess a lot of their products have, you know, you can't eat if you have a dairy allergy.
Suggesting so, to who? To
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Now, I'm guessing that by that she means like maybe the breading or something for the chicken has something in it.
Yeah, I think that southern style of breading, usually they put some buttermilk in there or something.
Sure, right. And the amount of tweets I saw to her tweet telling her that she was a bad parent and that she needed to just... There was a terrible person over asking this from Chick-fil-A online. It's so amazing to me the way people act. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's getting to the point, though, that behavior online makes me want to hide myself away and my snacks even more. It makes me want to do things like go places in person, like our New Orleans trip. And, you know, it makes me want to live life a little more in real life, because in real life, people still have some class and some dignity, and they wouldn't call you a punk ass bitch to your face as a stranger for merely not liking a movie poster. I incited a fan war, according to one person.
It's a very one-sided war.
Well, it was me against the world, just like Tupac.
There was no paid Marvel influencers rising up to support you on that one.
Yeah, weird how that happened, right? You would think that my army of Marvel trolls would have showed up.
Right. It's become such a thought bubble, though, and I follow probably five of these people, like the people who are actively, I think, coming at you on Twitter. Just because some people they tweet interesting things, but then they also they've turned on Batman News, which is a website that does a really nice job aggregating the breaking news about the Batman movie universe. They've sort of abandoned Batman versus Superman, which is a movie that I really like, in favor of the kind of new idea in the group think that Man of Steel is really the movie that everybody needs to latch onto. And of course there's the idea that not only that the Snyder Cut exists, but that it's going to be released, which is fine with me. You know, everybody, I think everybody kind of agreed that Justice League was a little too incoherent for its own good.
Yes, to all of that. I just think that in general, people need to be able to admit that something that they like wasn't good. You know, it's kind of like me in my defense of some of these movies and stuff, because of the fact that people usually see them before I do, and there's usually a thought about these movies one way or another put out there. So the ones that are excellent, they're always good to me, but they never live up to the hype. And the ones that are bad are always much better than people made them out to be. Because regardless, whether you're talking about the DC or Marvel movies, they're all still way better than the bullshit that we used to get when we were kids. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Batman, the original Batman with Michael Keaton was a masterpiece. But I read a really interesting article today about the Batman The Dark Knight and how even with its, you know, gaping plot holes and everything else was still kind of the grandfather or the father of this modern, you know, video game renaissance where these movie studios are taking these movies seriously. That's awesome. I love that. And I think that they should. They have awesome licenses to go with. They have awesome characters to develop and enhance and kind of bring to life in a completely new way. I just think that even those people that were calling me a piece of shit, I think they deserve better than what they're getting. I'm fighting for their rights too. I think that when they want to send me a Marvel poster like the Black Panther poster and tell me that that's cookie cutter bullshit, I'm going to have to disagree. I'm going to have to say that that poster is a masterpiece. I'm going to say that the Thor Ragnarok is a masterpiece. I'm going to say that when you when you look at these posters, they might have a common look because Marvel wants them to. Marvel wants them to all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. They want them all to kind of follow a certain look so that they all look like they're telling one cohesive story. But then they also want to let them have their own character, their own minor details, their stuff. So, yeah, I was actually surprised when someone sent me a bunch of the Marvel movie posters because I hadn't compared them side by side by side by side and seen how much they look alike. But even in still looking at them, I'm like, God, these are gorgeous compared to that fucking piece of shit. And that's how I feel. And that's it. Things are okay. It's okay for me to feel that way. It's also okay for people to tell me that I'm wrong and disagree with me. It's just not okay for you to slide into my DMs and tell me I'm a piece of shit that should go kill myself.
It's okay. It's okay if people don't like the things that you like. And I think everybody on a fundamental level has a hard time with that. I remember when my wife was in law school, a bunch of her friends gave her crap for buying Taylor Swift's first album. They were like, how can you listen to that? And anyway, she showed them because look at Taylor now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I was on their side. I was kind of like, seriously, though, Taylor Swift? We're like, really? And that kid who was like 16 or whatever at the time, like wound up working really hard and is now just out there killing it.
Oh, I don't know, man. That's why we went to the Institute.
Yeah.
We didn't want to walk that same path that other people walk. We were like, we want our opinions to count, be official, written down in a book. And we want to train to give these opinions. We want to learn. We want to be taught. We want to be trained properly on how to rate stuff. And that's why we do what we do.
I think we've made it very clear that we have a process. It's the PER system. We pick a snack, eat a snack, rate a snack.
It's more complicated than that, but yeah, to simplify it.
But there's, I think everybody has kind of at least there's enough transparency in the process that they can see what we're doing here. I think that we, we're out here explaining ourselves and, you know, not everybody is the same. And just because we rate a snack a 10 out of 10 doesn't mean that everybody's going to love it. You know, some people happen to be like 6-year-old kids. It's not their fault.
That's right.
That's just where they're at.
I didn't slide into your DMs when you rated Cherry Cola Oreos the highest rated Oreo and tell you to go kill yourself, Tim, did I? I mean, I didn't do that. I texted you, go kill yourself.
Yeah, go kill yourself.
It's because I have your number. And if I have your number, then I know you well enough that I can tell you to go kill yourself. But if you're sliding into my DMs and you're getting a little message indicator waiting to see if I accepted your message or not.
I'd like to also point out that a point of pride among the DC fan base is that they've raised like $1,000 for the suicide prevention charity.
Mm. Good for them.
In honor of Zack Snyder.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept all the receipts, so if anybody is wondering, don't worry about that. Your screenshots have been saved. I mean, like I said earlier, it's more eye-opening. There's weird things that happen. I read an article from this guy called "I Was Part of the Mob Before the Mob Came for Me," and that kind of reminded me of this. But I don't really tend to write vile things to strangers that I don't know. I don't try to quote tweet people to, you know, show other people how stupid they are unless they're coming at me. I follow general Twitter etiquette, but I'm also not there like a lot of these people are to negatively judge things. I am here to positively judge things. I want things to be good. I think things should be better. I think studios that make hundreds of millions of dollars can afford to get good designers and put out good stuff. Quality posters, quality merchandise, all of that. And I think everybody deserves it, even those DC fanboys that attack me. I think we all deserve it as comic book fans, and that's what I want. It's kind of like the wrestling shirts. I give WWE a hard time because it looks a lot of them were designed by like a high school art class who the project for the week was, you're going to design shirts for fictitious wrestlers. Here's their bio. You have to design it based on their name and this two-sentence paragraph. That's what some of the shirts look like. They're so basic. They're so lame. And just with all of the design capabilities, all the beautiful artwork that there is out there, I mean, I see people giving it away for free on Twitter.
Yeah, you're part of a fan community that's out there actually doing great work, doing really positive stuff to celebrate these wrestlers.
Right. I mean, fans are doing great stuff. Look at that Uncharted film that's receiving all sorts of praise because it had the one guy that we want in the Uncharted films actually in the fan film. I mean, things like that are fun, and it goes to show that fans know this stuff. And fans, like I said, you shouldn't be a blind fan like some of these people are, where you just think that DC is the greatest and all of their movies are the greatest and they all deserve Oscars. You're crazy,
man.
You gotta look at that
shit. I freaked out back when David O. Russell said he was gonna make an Uncharted movie starring Mark Wahlberg.
Oh my god.
Oh, I was so mad.
I bet.
I've only played like two Uncharted games, and even then I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. Missing the mark, but I don't know. It's kind of like, again, I hate to keep bringing up New Orleans, but I have to because it's the tie-in for this week's snack. And I'll say
it's the thinnest possible thread here, but
it's the little thinnest possible thread. But I mean,
God bless you for the segue.
It's two things though. It's two things about New Orleans is that the thing about the people there were they weren't super nice. So it kind of, you know, goes back to my theory of me saying people are nicer in person. It's not always the case. You don't always think that. they weren't very helpful. They weren't very nice. But the artwork was beautiful in New Orleans. I loved everything about all of the different art and all of the different stuff you see there. I've heard so many things about New Orleans being a dirty city and this and that. And, like, I just couldn't get over the fact that it was just so beautiful artistically. There was so much color. There was so much character. You and I live in a town that's very boring. Let's be honest. At least visually, it's very boring. It's very
well. I like the kind of open skies that you get. I like the mountain views.
Sure. Yes.
The cactuses. There's cool nature around. It's a lot of strip malls that are visually terrible.
Thank you. But yeah, that's. That was what I was getting around to, so I appreciate that. And
we have nice stoplights in a lot of places, like the ones in Tempe. Those are great.
They're beautiful.
Tempe has these wonderful street signs and stoplights.
Gorgeous, yeah. But anyway, so Zapp's potato chips.
Yeah. Hey, here we go.
Right. Well, that wasn't the way to do it. Let's do it right. Right. This week's snack, Zapp's New Orleans kettle style voodoo heat potato chips.
Zap, New Orleans kettle style voodoo heat potato chips.
New Orleans kettle
But when you guys said you were going to New Orleans for WrestleMania, like, people just started coming out of the woodwork for Zaps. There were Zaps stands left and right talking about these chips, and all of it. And it seemed surprising to people that you don't have to go to New Orleans to get these. They're pretty much everywhere.
Well, we didn't know that until we realized that a lot of local sandwich places here have them.
And yeah, just the hip sandwich places, the new chains for people who want a little. When you want a little more from life than Subway, mm-hmm. you know, and not Jimmy John's either, though, because Jimmy John's has like proprietary chips. But who has these Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches, which is an interesting sandwich chain in their own right. They try so hard to get you to like them when you go in there.
They really do.
Oh, my God. Like,
and it's so hard to like them, right? Because their owner plasters himself all over everything. Their logo is literally a cartoon of him. And, yeah, I don't know. There's something about it. Like,
there's just some little off-putting about maybe Ike himself. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just
Ike's a weird guy. Ike's a weird guy.
Why is it Love and Sandwiches? Like, why can't we just have a sandwich and see how we feel?
Why can't it just be Ike's Sandwich Shop?
Yeah. You
know? Why can't it be Ike's Casual Relationship, and we'll see what happens later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Ike's right Netflix and sandwiches. That could be all right. And then Potbelly also. That's where I think I bought these Voodoo Heat, was at Potbelly, because I think Ike's just had the regular Voodoo. And I think we both already tried the regular Voodoo and liked them, but wanted to take this up a notch.
Well, yeah, and, you know, these are supposed to be snacks that we've never tried before, but again, you've further ruined this podcast by revealing that we've actually had a flavor very close to these, but I don't care anymore.
This is a variant, man. It's like we've had a regular Oreo, but we've never had Vicks Vapor Rub flavored Oreo before.
Yeah,
you know,
I still don't like you and Eden hanging out together. I don't like this partnership. I don't like this pairing, and I feel like you guys are trouble. Like, when there's the two kids in the back of the class that are giggling, that's what I feel like is going on with you.
I just hope Eden wins. I'm just rooting for Eden here. I went to Target, and Cherry Coke was the only one on the shelves.
Yeah.
All the other My Oreo creations were dead and gone, but Cherry Coke survives for some reason.
Or the other ones were bought and eaten, and hers were left behind because people are like, hard pass.
That could have also been it.
Yeah. But if I saw these, the Zaps potato chips anywhere, oh, yeah, there's no hard pass on there. That's a green light. Give me the green light because I'm ready to go.
Yeah, they have a story behind their Voodoo flavor, which is that somebody just, like, screwed up and, like, accidentally dumped a bunch of spices into the chips.
All the spices.
Like all the spices. They just, knocked them right off the shelf, right into the chips, and that's how Voodoo was created. And then somebody apparently at some point was like, you know what? No, we could throw some more spices in here. Let's make Voodoo Heat.
Yeah. You forgot the spicy spices.
All the spices wasn't spicy enough.
Yeah. Yeah. We need more cayenne pepper. We are. Get me more turmeric extract and paprika.
Yep.
Well,
turmeric extract, people just take it in pill form now. This is like, I don't know what it's for. Prostate health, probably.
Yeah, I don't care, Tim. I don't care. I don't care about that. I don't care about anything anymore. I've had the life drained out of me by the DC trolls, and I don't even know if I have enough energy left to rate this chip. But you know what? I'm going to eat it.
Yeah. I kind of regret bringing that up.
Yeah, I'm sad now. You brought this whole podcast down. You've tainted podcast episode number 38 of Derek and Tim Eat Snacks.
Yeah, we could have... Could have said so many other things about New Orleans, like I've seen boobs there on a public street.
I was trying to talk about this. This girl bothered me for 45 minutes to show dick on Bourbon Street, Tim. 45 straight minutes of her begging me to show her the dick. And we're talking about DC
trolls. I can't tell if you're bragging or complaining.
It's a little bit of both. It's mostly bragging, though. Let's eat some chips.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes. created from the cosmic legends of the universe, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman.
I don't know. It's a good thing you didn't do it, though. Adam has a story about seeing a police officer just like whap a dude right in the dick with an asp.
Oh.
Dude pulls it out. Police officer is just right there, bam, with the asp right on there.
Damn.
Yep.
Damn, Tim. So on the back of this package, they say, not for the faint of heart. It'll put a spell on you. They are not lying. These things are spicy as fuck.
Wow.
Yeah. They aren't lying, buddy. Lazer le bon temps volé.
Your French is impeccable.
I learned a little bit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, but it's such a good heat. It's such a delicious heat. It goes so well with the other spices.
It really does. They dovetail together perfectly.
Yeah, I'm so hot. It's so hot. My mouth is so spicy right now. But I can't stop eating them. And that's always a good thing. Like, I feel like I need to eat more.
It's almost like you took the regular voodoo and, like, just dunked it in some Louisiana hot sauce. Because it's a very... It's a very Louisiana kind of heat, too.
It is. And where the regular voodoo chip was kind of all over the place, this has a very, very distinct, directed flavor.
Yeah, the heat kind of just hugs all those spices, brings them in, and then guides them
to
where they need to go.
It's got a nice little sweetness to it, though. Like a barbecue sauce type almost flavor. But it's very faint. It's not overpowering. None of it's overpowering. The spiciness is spicy as hell, and it's still not overpowering. Damn. I was not expecting this, because we had, like Tim said earlier, ruining this podcast, we had the regular voodoo. It was a little bit colorful. It was cutesy. I'm pretty sure it had some ominous words on it that, you know...
Yeah, the packaging was neat. There's little voodoo dolls on there. This one has voodoo dolls, too. But the main voodoo doll, like, his hair's all standing up because he's eating something so spicy.
Yeah. He's trying to warn you, like, watch the fuck out.
This is right up there with the, with St. Louis's Red Hot Riplet. This is one of the...
Yeah.
One of the best chips that we've eaten on the show. And we've eaten a lot of chips.
Great comparison. It's that same type of just delivering everything you want. It's got good flavor. Check. Spicy. Check. The kettle style chip holds up well. Isn't too hard to eat. Isn't too crunchy. But it's delicious.
I know you've come out against the kettle style chip before.
I have.
Why are you defending the plain chip? Do you know that plain chips are not all original? Do you know that some wavy chips don't have good packaging?
I do know that, Tim.
Yeah, release the Snyder Cut, Derek. What's wrong with you? Does the fact that this is a kettle chip does that hold it back for you at all? That's what I'm asking.
Not even in the slightest bit, because this type of kettle chip doesn't bother me. This isn't a pretentious kettle chip trying to be too hard to eat. You know, like when you go to the old country store and you get those kettle chips.
Well, these kettle chips are made in 1905.
These are my pappy's. These are my pappy's recipe. Oh, man. New Orleans once again impresses me with their food. I don't know how they continue to do it.
Yeah, this is an absolutely killer chip, and it's worth... Potbelly sandwiches, man. That was a cornerstone of my lunch rotation in Ann Arbor, because it's such a good rainy day place. And in Ann Arbor, it's always gloomy and gray. Like, there's no sunshine there.
It's funny when you say that I know exactly what you mean, yet I didn't know what you would have meant until I lived in Syracuse, New York for a year of my life. So, yes, I know what you mean. When it's like people of Arizona that are listening to this, there are places where there's literally no blue sky at all. Not a square inch of it for like 6 months of the year.
At least 4 months. So that, like, I've had times where it's been like, or I had times on a like a 30 degree day. When it's windy, the sun will poke out from behind the clouds, and I will strip down to like my undershirt just to feel sunlight on my skin. But in Ann Arbor, it was always great to just go get like a sandwich and a bowl of chili, because that's the kind of restaurant that Potbelly is. It seems like a tough sell here in Arizona because it's like it's such a hot, like thick, oily sandwich, and also their chili is good. But now I might go back to Potbelly's more often just to get these chips. You don't need the chili.
Pick me up a bag. I love how Potbelly sandwich restaurants look like my kitchen from when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure at least a half a dozen of the pictures that they have hanging in each and every one is from directly from the kitchen that I grew up in. But I love them. I love their chips. And I love these chips. I love New Orleans. I love DC films and characters. And I'm going to rate them an 8.5, Tim.
I'm going to rate this ship a 9. This is really doing it for me.
I don't hate you for that. I am not going to DM you and tell you that your opinion is stupid.
And I know, and I might even be holding back because I don't remember what I rated the Red Hot Riplet.
Yeah, no, that's the biggest reason for my 8.5. These are not better than Red Hot Riplets, but if I had both of these at a party, I'm not gonna not eat these.
Yeah, it'd be tough. Red Hot Riplets have the advantage of being the wavy chip.
Yeah, you're
that
right.
Makes a difference.
Makes a huge
they're
difference.
They're also very sweet and very hot. I mean,
these are hotter.
Flavor is more directed. Yeah, these are hotter. They're just a hair, just by a hair, I think. But yeah. I have crinkled this bag into the microphone so hard.
Yeah. Well, the people, the viewers, they need to feel it, and they need to see it, and they need to taste it.
It's visceral. We talk about sensory blending
all the time. It's so important. Flavors, yeah.
Seeing sounds. Yeah.
I mean, it's a staple at the Institute. When we used to do sensory deprivation training, it was all about hearing crunch and feeling it in your mouth. Once you got there, you are on like an enlightened level of snackology.
Those are some weird upper level classes.
They were electives, but I mean they were more fun than taking, you know, like your standard cookbook training class, right? I mean, what the fuck were we going to use that for? We were never going to make the snacks, Tim.
This is not we knew going in that we weren't going to be cooking our own snacks.
We're
going to
be cooking our own snacks. We're not those people. We're personalities, Tim. We're the judges.
I haven't heard if anybody made my gooey butter cake recipe. I hope someone did. I kind of want to make my own. Just because I miss it. I miss it now.
Yeah. I'll never stop thinking about that cake. But see, now just like in the beginning of the episode, you're taking us back now.
Yeah.
We can't do this, Tim.
What I want to make clear, though, to our viewers is that I was a little mad going in about that because I wanted an ice cream bar.
Yeah,
but
I know.
You know what?
I know.
But you know what? These chips have done it. My palate was in a place. I had like way too salty of fries for dinner. You ever get that where you feel like a desiccated slug because you've eaten a food that was too salty?
Yes. And usually it's French fries or potato related in some way.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I kind of overdo it with the seasoning on a steak, but most of the time it kind of evens out. I'm with you there, though. French fries,
chips were the last thing I wanted. But these chips turned it all around for me, Derek.
Well, you learned an important lesson. You learned an important lesson tonight, Tim.
I did.
You can't live in the past and you can't live in the future. You got to live in the now. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck Nazis?
Fuck Nazis.
Nah, fuck them.
Fuck them.